Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. So, hello, everybody.
No. I need like a clean cut.
You need a clean cut.
Yeah.
What's a clean cut sound like?
Means don't be talking and then go into it. Like, pause before you start.
How long do I have to pause?
Just like a half. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Dare to Believe podcast. We are so happy to start season 3.
This is pretty exciting, season 3.
We made it.
Yeah, we made it, and looking forward to great things.
Yeah, so keep on subscribing, passing this on to people that you know will like it. 5-star reviews on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, and stay tuned for some really exciting things.
And dare to believe for more from God.
Amen.
Hi, I'm Christy Grainer, and I want to welcome you to the Dare to Believe podcast. Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
You want to tell our listeners who's in the studio today?
Well, I don't know her very well. In fact, we just met, but I'm already getting pretty excited to hear from her. We've got Ruth Buzis with us, author of Awaken Love. What's the subtitle on that, Ruth?
The truth about sex that will transform your marriage.
There it is.
Yeah. So if anyone would like more sex in their life and a transformed marriage, or better sex in their life, not more, better, right?
Yeah, maybe both.
Maybe both. There you go. At Dare to Believe, we learned about Ruth. It was very interesting because we have a high value for Christian marriage, and that Christian marriage should have healthy sexuality as part of it, emotional intimacy, that Christian marriages should be known for how strong they are. And what we see when we look at our culture is that's not really been the case.
Yeah.
It should be the case, but it's not. And God created sex. It's His idea. This is not a man-made thing. And the stereotype that Christians don't have good sex lives and don't like sex is really dysfunctional and unhealthy for everyone. And it's contrary to what God intended. So that's been a value at Dare to Believe all along. We have had many marriage courses, marriage retreats, marriage things going on here. And we were in a season where we were looking for what next, Lord? What next? What do we do to help strengthen and do our part in the Christian community to support and encourage healthy marriages? And had a team member who came to us and said, Christy, I have just been in the best Bible study. I'm like, okay, cool. What's the Bible study about? And she goes, sex. I'm like, I don't hear a lot of that. I mean, it's not a norm, but it should be, right? And so she told me about the Awaken Love small group that she'd been attending and how much she loved it and what it did for her in her marriage, not just her sexual relationship, but her marriage. And I thought, wow, that is quite amazing. I'll have to look into that. And I sent it off to some of our pastoral colleagues that are committed to the same thing, and they all looked at it and said, this looks really good. So I was wondering, okay, I don't have the capacity time-wise and energy-wise to be the one in charge of all that. I want to have it happen here, but I was praying, Lord, how does that happen? And another woman, totally unrelated to the first one, came and asked us. Hadn't been to a whole lot at Dare to Believe. She'd been to some classes, but she was a member of a local church, and she had been leading this Bible study in her church, and it was getting great responses from the women at that point. But there's Bible study for men as well. We just keep them separate, men and women. And she said, our church doesn't have room for me to do it here. Could I lead this at Dare to Believe? I'm like, hello. This is within less than a two-week period that two women come to me and tell me about this. And I'd been asking the Lord for these things. And so right off the bat, we begin to have the classes here. And we're now on our second round of them. And it's been wonderful, a real blessing. So thank you for what you did and how what you have put together and how you've written a curriculum and a book.
Yes.
And you do workshops and you do speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us about you and what is your story? I mean, this isn't your average story.
Yeah, this isn't something I planned. I I'm an engineer. I'm a rational thinker. I don't like to feel too much, actually. And so I had a radical transformation 8 years ago. I did a study on Song of Songs, and it radically transformed my intimacy with Christ, and it radically transformed my marriage at the same time. It's funny how those two things can be so interrelated, but intimacy in marriage is supposed to help us understand just how intimate Christ wants to be with us. My husband and I, you know, we've had a good, strong marriage, but I would tell you it was a safe marriage. We didn't talk about a lot of hard things. We had sex, we enjoyed it, but we didn't talk about it. And we could just kind of figure out what worked, and we just kind of stuck with it. And so that was a year of really hard work for my husband and I. Lots of tears, lots of hard conversations, but amazing growth and amazing intimacy that came out of that.
So wow. How long had you been married when you first did this study for yourself?
It was like 23 years. And so it had been a long time.
Yeah. And four daughters.
We still had a couple at home. A couple were gone. And so it was a lot of years of, you know, just a good marriage. But God showed me how much better my marriage could be and that we don't have to settle. That he wants us to have a passionate marriage that is alive. It's like that verse in Revelations, you know, where God says, don't be lukewarm. Either be hot or be cold, but don't be lukewarm. And that was me. I was lukewarm. And so after my own journey and discovering all the things that I discovered about sex, and those are God's truth about sex, but also resentment that I held towards my husband and baggage that I carried and shame that I still carried, learning how to talk about sex, learning how my body worked and all of those details. After that transformation, God just kept tapping me on the shoulder of, you need to share what you've learned.
Yeah.
And I, first thing I did was I marched into my pastor's office and said, you guys need to start talking about sex. Nobody talks about sex in the church. All we ever hear is, don't do it or do it for your husband. And things need to change. And he patiently listened to me several different times, actually, until I finally realized God wasn't calling him to start talking about sex. God was calling me to start talking about sex.
Somebody needs to do this, and usually that somebody is us. When something's burning in us, that's usually for us, and whatever the topic
when
is.
When you can see the problem, you're usually part of the solution.
You're usually part of the solution.
Right. So I outline a curriculum based on my journey. I basically took a year of my life and condensed it into 6 weeks. It's based on the books that were really transformational for me. It's based on Song of Songs. A lot
what
of the
books
homework.
Were transformational for you?
Sheet Music by Kevin Lehman, which if I was going to suggest a book on sex, especially for newlyweds, would be at the top of my list, mostly because he's a very entertaining writer. And he would probably hold the attention of a man, and a lot of books wouldn't. They read more like textbooks, and so he would hold the attention of a man. And then Intimate Issues by Linda Dillo and Lorraine Pintus, and it really focuses on the head issues that women have with sex, a lot of the lies that we believe, a lot of the struggles that we have.
So Intimate Issues and Sheet Music are the two books that you'd recommend, besides your own, which is Awaken Love.
Right.
What led you to study Song of Solomon in the first place?
You know, a friend was having the study, and actually we were studying it as an allegory of God's love for us. And each week we had to read it out loud to ourselves over and over. There's something transformational that happens when you read God's word out loud.
Yeah.
And especially like in Song of Songs, this is supposed to be God speaking over me as I'm reading these passages of, you are so beautiful. Oh, how lovely you are. And beauty was something I never, ever related to. I was somebody that accomplished a lot. I was the tomboy. I was, you know, I could get it done, but I wasn't beautiful. And I really wrestled with, why couldn't I receive this? I mean, this is supposed to be God saying, you are so beautiful. And I realized I'd spent my entire life trying to get myself there, trying to do the right thing. And being beautiful was just something that I was because God created me stunning inside and out. And so receiving that truth changed my dynamic with God. It shifted everything from my mind to understanding who God is to my heart, to moving into a love affair with Jesus. And it was a huge shift for me. It shifted how I worshiped. It shifted how I understood and read his word. It shifted how I prayed. It shifted everything for me.
So the transformation in you started with your relationship, the intimacy with the Lord first.
It did. Which is funny to talk about. I mean, I remember in this study, we were probably 5 or 6 weeks in, and suddenly saying to my husband, "Do you know how many times we've had sex, like, in the last month?" Because all of a sudden, I was reaching for my husband a lot more than I used to. And it's not even something that I thought about. It just happened. For my husband and I, sex had kind of gotten to the place where we had sex when my hormones spiked. You know, those twice a month kind of spikes when you're more available. And I was the gatekeeper, and he patiently waited until I reached for him. And I think back on that, I think, you know, all those years that I thought sex was just physical for men, and why do you have to have sex all the time? It was me that was operating as if sex was physical. And so as I dove into understanding God's design for sex, it opened me up to realize how many times I need sex, even when my body's not screaming for it. And that there were times when my husband desired sex that I should have listened to. There were times when he realized we were disconnected, that the only way he knew to get us back on the same page was for us to come together. And at the time, I wasn't open to that. And I'm learning, no. Like, I need to trust my husband in that. And even the idea of sex being a comfort, that's kind of mind-blowing. Because most women, sex feels like something they need to do for their husband, a duty. And I would say it was the same for me. If I was stressed out, the last thing I wanted was sex. Like, well, let me just figure out my life, and then we can have sex, you know? And that's drastically changed. So now if I'm headed towards depression, if I'm feeling insecure, if I'm stressed out, coming together with my husband is what helps fill me up and get me through those times.
So it's a helpful mental, emotional, and spiritual strengthening in you to have this gift of sexuality. Do you believe that was part of God's plan? When you talked about God's design, why did God make us sexual beings? What do you believe is God's design for sexuality?
Yeah, and I believe that God created us as sexual beings to draw us into relationship, to help us understand what intimacy is, what a covenant love looks like. And so even in singleness, there's this drawing towards relationship, whether we're sexually active or not. But in marriage, God created sex to make us into one. And we talk about that impurity all the time, that you shouldn't have sex outside of marriage. And then we get married, and then women move to this place of, well, I have to feel emotionally connected before I can have sex. And we forget that God gave us this amazing gift to connect us to our spouse, maybe even sometimes when we're not feeling emotionally connected to them. And sometimes maybe we need to trust our husband in that, because I feel like they're more in tune to that than we are. He gave us sex to comfort each other. He gave us sex to know each other. And to me, that's the answer to how we're supposed to have sex. I think there are a lot of couples that are having sex where they're not getting to know each other. You know, you can kind of figure out how to get to the finish line, and you just kind of stick with it, and it's the tried and true, and pretty soon the wife maybe starts getting bored, so she just starts imagining something else, and you're not really getting to know each other. And sex is supposed to be this lifelong journey of discovery. In order to do that, you have to be able to talk about sex. You have to be vulnerable and share things. You have to, it takes a lot of courage, and it's not just having sex. And so the class is not just about why sex is important, but it's how to create a sex life like God intended. Mm. You know, if you compare it to our relationship with Christ, we're supposed to be on this journey of continually getting to know Christ, not just checking church off the box. Well, the same is true in our sex life. We're supposed to be on this journey of continually getting to know each other, not just checking it off the box out of duty. Mm-hmm. One of the most powerful things that I've learned about sex is that it's supposed to help us understand our relationship with Christ. And there are so many parallels to that, just like the one that I just used. But even the idea that, you know, when you've been married a number of years, well, marriage is just going to get boring and sex is going to get boring too. Well, if you're in a relationship with Christ, like, and you're really spending time getting to know him, listening, all of those things, does your relationship with Christ get boring or does it get better and better? The idea that, well, you just need to do this to fulfill your husband's need and check it off the list. Does Christ want you to just show up, to just follow the rules and check it off the list? Or is he much more interested in your heart, in a heart-to-heart connection? And so that's one of the things that I really use to measure what is true about sex. Because there are a lot of lies mm-hmm. and misinformation about sex.
Yeah, and you go through it in pretty graphic detail in the Bible study. And it is a Bible study. It's not just a class on how to have a good sex life. It is a Bible study on how the Lord created you and what he wants for the relationship with you. It's a Bible study, which is what the women that have taken it that I've talked to are just so impressed with, that they kind of assumed you had to keep them separate, like be almost ashamed of your sex life in front of God. And what you're doing is a Bible study, saying, let's lay this all out mm-hmm. in front of the Lord.
Yeah, we constantly separate God from our sexuality.
Oh, totally.
And I think we do it both in singleness or in marriage and in the choices and the decisions we make. And a lot of times people will want rules about sexuality, and some things are not black and white. And what we really need to do is integrate God into our sexuality and involve him in our sexuality and discern with him what is right for us, rather than just having a bunch of black and white rules. Integrating even... people, for whatever reason, people think that God can't heal sexual baggage. That's like, that is the unforgivable sin. And so if you've had sex outside of marriage, well, you're never going to have a great sex life in marriage. If you're carrying shame, well, that's something you can never talk about or you can never move past. And that's a lie. God has as much power over our sexuality as any area of our life. But it takes the courage to talk about it and to bring it to the light and to speak it. That's one of the big things that we do in class, is we spend a week sharing sexual baggage and praying over each other. And it's so powerful when those things come to the light and we're able to speak them. Even with my own sexual baggage.
It goes back to the fact God actually cares about it. Whereas I think there's been a divorce in a lot of Christianity or churchianity between sex and God, and like so much shame and guilt surrounding it, as opposed to realizing, no, this is something that's God-given, that is a good thing, and that he has value for it. And he's not concerned about mistakes and stuff. He's a lot bigger than that, a lot more powerful than that, but he cares about it.
Right.
I think that's not something that was taught. I think it's being taught now. It's starting to come out now. But even when I was growing up, there was just like, this is what sex is and don't do it.
Right.
And that was it. That was the whole lesson.
Well, and even the awkwardness or the amount of silence.
Yes.
Around the topic of sex.
Yes, the silence spoke loudly.
Connects shame
yep.
with sex. And it separates God from sex, as if, well, we can't talk about this in church.
Yeah.
Well, why can't we? This is a God created gift, and God is not afraid of it at all. He's not afraid of the conversations. He's not afraid of the baggage.
And you know, we have three women talking here. We have a guy doing our sound, but three women. And so I just want to make sure that the listeners understand this course, there is a that groups for men and groups for women. It's not a women's course. Mm-hmm. My experience came first through women with the course being done, but this is for men and women. This is both, because it's a growth and it's dealing with our hiddenness and our shame and our embarrassment and our baggage from both the male and female part of the relationship.
Yeah, I just taught a class over in St. Paul, and they were going to just teach the women's class, and I kind of challenged the pastor. I'm like, you know, if you just offer the women's class, basically you're telling the husbands you don't have anything to work on in this area. And that's a lie. Men have different things to work on, but there is a real importance in them being equal partners in not thinking, you know, I've got everything figured out, so you just figure out your stuff and then we're good. Because if you want to create a sex life that is mutually enjoyable for both husbands and wives, the husbands have a lot of things to learn. So in the men's class, it's a little shift in focus. We talk about God's design for sex. We help them try to move from just having sex to creating intimacy during sex, because I think there's a shift for them. We try to help them understand some of the baggage and lies that the women believe about sex and ways that they can help combat those lies. For instance, a lot of women believe that sex is just a physical need for men. And when they reach for sex, that's all they want. But most husbands would tell me, you know what? Like, all I want to do is to connect with my wife. It's not just about about sexual release. So I tell the husband, so if you initiate sex and your wife, for whatever reason, says no, if you immediately roll over and go to sleep, or you go downstairs and watch TV or pout, you're basically telling your wife all you wanted was sex. But if instead you say, you know what, can I just give you a back rub, or can I hold you, or do you want to talk about something, and you move into connection, you're telling your wife, I care more about connecting with you than I care about a sexual release. That was not just about a sexual release. So there are a lot of things men can learn about that, but also men need to learn how to talk about sex. And they're probably as uncomfortable, if not more uncomfortable, talking about sex than we are. Most of us don't grow up talking about sex. Men might joke about it, but they don't usually talk about it. And so I want to get them comfortable talking about sex, not just for the marriage, but for their kids, for other men that they need to speak into their life, and so moving beyond just themselves.
So when you do a class, what does it look like? What does it logistically look like? If you go into a congregation and you do a class, what does that look like?
So I teach live classes, but there are also video classes that you can use that are very easy to use. And basically, it's a small group of women, because we want to create this.
Or men.
Yes. Thank you.
And women leading a women's group and a man leading a men's group.
So it's a small group because you want to create a safe place for people to really open up and be honest and have conversations. The conversations are as important as the content that they're learning. And we talk about God's design. We talk about lies and baggage. We talk about communication. We talk about how our bodies work. And we go into real detail as far as how men's and women's bodies work, because that's part of making sex great. We need to understand ourselves. And I don't think God is ashamed of that. I think to be able to talk about that in respectful ways can be really freeing.
So you mentioned teaching children. What would you say to, what impact does this have on teaching our children, or in teaching our congregations, or people that we encounter? Tell me how you see that.
Yeah, most of us did not grow up talking about sex. Some of us remember some awkward conversations, but very few of us had comfortable conversations with our parents, and that translates into our lives, into our marriages, into our conversations with our kids, and that's part of the importance of community and class, is to get comfortable talking about sex, and then to get comfortable talking with your husband, and then to get comfortable talking to your kids. In this day and age, we have to talk to our kids on a regular basis as if it's a normal conversation about how trees grow. And when we talk about sex, it can't just be about talking about how babies are made. I mean, you have sex a thousand times. Very few are to make a baby. And so what is the rest of that about? And so I think it's important to talk to our kids about, you know, like, this is a special way that Dad and I connect, or this is a way that we comfort each other, what, those different things. And include God in those conversations, right? Make him part of those conversations. But also, as our kids become older, to equip them to make good choices themselves. And so in class, we talk about masturbation, and it's an area that takes discernment. It's an area that we need to include God in those decisions. And the church historically likes to go one of two ways. Either it's all wrong, or the world would say, well, we're all sexual beings, so just do it as much as you want. God leaves us somewhere in the middle to discern what is right for us based on biblical principles. And there are a lot of biblical principles. And so to equip our kids, okay, let's dig into these. What are these biblical principles? Like, we're not supposed to lust. That's using somebody else for our own gratification. We're not supposed to make something else our God. Something is not supposed to control us. So things are not always beneficial, and so it takes discernment. And so equipping our kids as they become older to have conversations with God, and maybe even sometimes we need to pray, God, is this something that's beneficial for me, or is this something that's going to cause me to hide? Is this something that drives me towards relationship or towards hiding?
Have you seen this happen in the family setting or in the church or ministry setting, or both? Or what do you see as most beneficial? Probably both and a little bit.
I think both and. I think the family has the primary influence.
Yeah.
And they need to have the primary influence. And so this idea you need to start talking to your kids about sex, unless you can talk about sex yourself, unless you really have embraced sex and integrated God into your sex life, talking to your kids about sex is like a clanging gong. It's not going to mean much. And so you have to live it. You have to breathe it. It has to be part of who you are. And so that's my hope, is that as women take classes, like, it
and
changes.
Men.
And men. Thank you.
I'm going to keep adding it.
I know. It changes their lives. And their kids see that change. And they can open up conversations in other ways. I think churches can do it too. And I think it's important to do in churches, and to not always just give easy black and white answers.
Yeah.
There are not easy black and white answers to sexuality always.
And, you know, as we get these breakthroughs, spiritual breakthroughs, that we break through that are kind of hard for us. There's so many. It's not just sexual things. It's fear. It's anger and hatred. It's
shame.
All kinds of things. When we get that breakthrough ourselves, then we pass that breakthrough on toward the next generation. And that is the blessings of God going from generation to generation.
Right.
People get really worried and scared about generational curses. And we find in this ministry that people are really afraid and intimidated by that. But, you know, Jesus died that we'd have freedom and wholeness,
right,
and that the blessings would be passed on from generation to generation that he released. And so as we break through and do the hard work in any area of our life to get freedom, then we do pass that blessing on to the next generation.
Well, and that's part of the reason why we have why I really encourage men and women to share their baggage in class, even if they've already been healed from it, because I believe it's a powerful part of their testimony.
Yeah.
And if people are to believe that God can heal sexual baggage, then they need to hear those stories, not just other healing stories. And so I always tell the men and the women that take classes, this is not just for you. This is for every person that you interact with. It is for your kids. It is for your spouse. It is for your friends. It is for your church. The culture of church as in the area of sexuality, that's a hard thing to change coming from the top down. Pastors are in a really sticky place as far as how they handle this topic. And maybe it needs to come more as a grassroots effort of transformation of individuals and that pouring out into other individuals.
Yeah. Well, I know what I've seen here at Dare to Believe is that it works well that way, because people feel like they can be a little bit invisible and come in and come to this small group of 6 to 8 people and be really honest and get that breakthrough without having to be really seen yet, to get help themselves as an individual. And then be when they're ready, then they come and tell everybody about it. But when they're ready.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go. All right. talking about your back to the kids, like your kids are hearing about sex, even if you're not the one speaking about it. It's very naive to think that we're not.
Culture is screaming at your kids about sex, and pornography is rampant, and kids are falling in it from the age of 7, 8, 9, 10 years old.
Yeah.
There are messages being screamed.
Right.
And if we do not start speaking up in the church with real answers, not with just simple black and white answers, then our kids are going to struggle even more than we have.
Right.
We've struggled plenty.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons that we've seen parents kind of avoid talking about this is they have so much shame around their past, and they don't want their kids to repeat their mistakes or walk through the same road that they did. But they're not actually letting the Lord heal their past or heal them, and they're cutting off that transformation that could flow to the next generation because of that. So I love that what you're saying about, like, this is a testimony worth sharing. This is a really powerful testimony. And to remove the shame from it and the stigma that people have associated with it. Like, no, this is a powerful thing that the Lord's done.
Right.
And this, I mean, sex is super powerful. Mm-hmm. But we learn that just from the world. We don't need to, we know that whether the church is saying it or not.
As powerfully bad as it is, it is that powerfully good.
Right.
And there is a power there that we are not tapping into
to
strengthen marriages.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I've actually
had
this.
That's a good point. As bad as it can be with pornography, with abuse, with all the things that come and steal sexuality and healthy sexuality, even exponentially more than that is how powerful.
Or lukewarm religious sex.
That it has a very powerful impact on people in general, on the body of Christ, and that is why there's such a strategy against it. I mean,
sure,
the enemy doesn't counterfeit something that's not valuable, and he's worked really hard on this one.
Yeah.
So it should make us very aware that this is incredibly important.
And I've had this conversation with a number of friends, even recently. I think the topic's been up and coming up a lot, where if we had been taught what sex really was, I think our value for it would have been so different. I've had a lot of friends be like, if I knew what sex was, I wouldn't have been promiscuous. I would have really changed how I pursued this, you know? But when it was a thing like, well, just don't do this because it's bad, but then suddenly get married and it's good now, and not that, which is a huge shift to make, and that's ridiculous to tell somebody something's bad until and then it's good without explaining anything else. That changes how people pursue that. It's something worth fighting for and protecting, and not just like I'm missing out
and why.
And
why is it
worth
fighting? Right. What do you say to single people? Do you ever do trainings for single people? Or?
I did. I got to teach the high schoolers 2 nights, and it was super fun. I kind of loved it.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And the pastor gave me free rein, and I just decided I don't want to give them the same message that they've heard a million times. And so the first night we talked about God's design for sex, all the reasons that he designed it, how it plays out in marriage. And then we talked about, okay, so like if you look at porn or if you have relationships outside, how does this impact, right? So if sex is to get to know each other, so if you have sex with a whole bunch of people before you're married, how does that impact getting to know each other in marriage? And so direct correlations. The second night we actually spent talking about masturbation. Because I wanted the kids to understand, this isn't, first off, what does the Bible really say? What biblical principles apply? And how do you take biblical principles and apply them to things that are not clear? Discern with God. Ask God, okay, what's right for me in this situation?
Right, because people can have a personal opinion, and that is fine. But to put that on God is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And what does God really say? And be informed about that. And then make your own personal decision.
And empowering the students to do that, empowering people to do that, that's huge.
Yeah. And I just think, you know, do we pray about our sexuality? Do we equip encourage our kids to pray about their sexuality? You know what? Like, if you're not sure about this, pray to God. He's going to give you an answer. Now, whether you choose to listen to him or not, that's an act of obedience, but he will give you an answer.
Hey guys, just a quick break to tell you about an upcoming event at Dare to Believe. If you're liking this podcast, then I highly recommend you check out the Awaken Love classes coming to Dare to Believe this spring, April 1st through May 13th. It's Wednesday nights, 6:15 to 8:15, and there's a men's class and a women's class, so an awesome opportunity for you to act on what you're hearing now. A testimony from the Awaken Love class that we received said, "During the class sessions, I felt the Holy Spirit's presence and a sort of healing started for me the first night of class. Our leader met me right where I was at, and I credit her encouraging me to keep coming back each week. She and the others in my class helped a sort of healing to start in me. God was able to take away pain and confusion and reveal his love, care, compassion, and purpose for sex and marriage for me. Today, I am so very thankful I participated. We talked about things I'd never talked about before. This is how safe it felt." That is such an awesome testimony. And if you want testimonies like this to come out of your life, again, check out this class. You go to dare2believe.info, click on the classes and event tab, and you can find the Awaken Love classes there. And now back to our show.
It's interesting when we work with married couples, prayer is one of the hardest things for married couples to do together. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a powerful thing that the enemy tries to steal. Right. So there is a version of intimacy that it comes in prayer that is very hard for married couples. And when they break through that, it's powerful for their marriage. Similarly, this the sexuality, when you break through what sexuality is, it's an intimacy that is very different than you ever expected as well.
Yeah.
So what God has in store. You know, as a female pastor, I have dealt with so many women over the 30 years I've been doing this kind of stuff that are in very abusive relationships. And I'm sure that comes up in your classes. How do you address that? And what do you say in marriages like that or to people who are in those type of situations?
Well, the first thing is that I have a loving husband. And so I just make very clear, you know what, if you're not in a situation where you have a husband that you can trust, then you need to operate that way and not always give him the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. And so some of the things that I'm teaching you, even though that's what God wants for you, that may not be something that you can move into immediately or that you can move, you know.
But the goal would be to get safer in that and get help so that you can be safer in that relationship.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah, that's very good because that we still want that for every marriage. But the reality that you don't need to make yourself vulnerable to someone who is going to abuse that vulnerability.
Well, and I think there are a lot of women that just think, if I'm a Christian, I have to have sex with my husband. And sometimes even with husbands that are like they're not abusive necessarily. But the power has been taken away from them, and it can impact them in profoundly negative ways. I had one woman that she was married over 20 years, and finally she got to the place where she couldn't even let her husband touch her because it had been 20 years of just like never, ever saying no and kind of not having power over her own self. And then I have another woman who, same thing, and she's just really struggling with, how do I even learn how to respond? Because she just hates sex. I'm like, you're not gonna learn to love sex until you take ownership of yourself and this becomes something that you can give away.
Mm-hmm. And all of that is outlined very well in your book and in your class. So I'd encourage people, if that describes you, delve into this and don't be afraid to look into it. And it can be a very difficult journey, but you have designed, especially the groups, to be very supportive of people who are even very broken. And it becomes a very safe place. So you've done that very well.
Thank you.
Yeah, which is important.
It's super easy. Important in this day and age. It is, because you don't know what situation people are in. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what situation you're in, I believe it's important to understand, what does God want for marriage? what does he want for sex and marriage? It's important to understand about your own past experiences, how they've impacted you, to gain freedom for those, to understand how your body works. And so even if you can't move into that immediately, I believe that there's kind of healing and even a vision of what God wants and a direction to move that can help you figure out what are your next steps as far as getting help.
Right. And with the information you have put down, it's in book form, it's in DVD form, and you do live teaching. But people with the DVDs can do that personally. They don't have to be in a group, so they can get that information and do it on their own. They can do it in small groups, and they can go to your website to see where there's other groups going on. And they can go to some of your live classes. So what is your website and how do people access that?
The website is awaken-love.net.
Awaken-love.net.
Yep.
And is there anything else that you would want our
I guess the last thing is, in class, one of the questions we ask is, how did you learn about sex? And out of the 800 women I've taught, very few could say, you know what, I don't really know how I learned about it, but I could always talk to my parents and I never felt embarrassed asking them questions. And those same women were women that had serious dating relationships before marriage, didn't have sex, and then once they got married, easily transitioned to enjoying sex.
Wow.
The ones that were able to talk to their parents.
The ones that were able to talk to their parents. That tells me something. Like, it tells me there's no reason that we can't change things.
And that by doing that, you're giving quite a gift to your children.
Yeah, yeah. It changes. It will change things for your family.
Mm-hmm. That's a blessing, yeah.
Oh, so I'm going to pull in the single card over here. And what would you say to single people right now, like, what would a lasting kind of imprint you'd leave?
You know, we didn't talk about sexual integrity, but I'm gonna bring it up.
Please.
So, the church tends to talk about purity.
Mm-hmm.
Purity is black or white. You either are or you aren't, and once you aren't, that's done. Sexual integrity is this idea of every person needs to learn to live with sexual integrity, and that means they get up and they say, God, how do I live in a way where my sexuality will honor you? Mm. How do I live in a way where my sexuality will move me towards relationship with you? Sometimes, you know, and so it is an everyday choice and discernment. God puts boundaries around sexuality because he loves you. And he wants to protect you. He wants you, when you're ready to move into marriage, if you move into marriage, for that to be a great experience. Not that you won't have things to learn, but he wants it to be a great experience. And so God is not stingy about sexuality. That's my word, is to think about, like, how do I involve God in my choices about my sexuality instead of separating them? And how do I live in a way where it is honoring to him?
That's really good. That reminded me of something. That this was a thought I had in college. Is weird, I don't know, some Bible study or something where we were all talking about, like, you know, how to not have sex was pretty much the restriction there. this is what you don't do.
Black and white.
Yeah, absolutely. And the phrase pure until marriage was over and over this study. It was like, I'm going to stay pure until I'm married. And I remember that really hit me wrong. I'm like, well, why would I be not pure when I'm married?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would purity leave? Because you're using the word purity to say virginity.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's actually not the same thing at all.
Right.
And that really hit me hard. Like, I'm going to be pure in marriage too. Why would that change?
That is a good point.
And, you know, sexual integrity is something that applies to everybody.
Yeah.
Whether you're a kid, a teenager, a single adult, whether you're married, living with sexual integrity means, you know what, I'm going to work on my sex life. I'm going to work through my baggage. I'm going to make sex a priority even when I have little kids. Whether you're widowed, whether you're divorced, any of those life stages, you say, God, how do I honor you with this part of my being?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, years ago I saw a presentation by a pastor. He talked about a bonfire of sexuality. Mm-hmm. It's this huge bonfire of power, of presence. And you can take that bonfire and that fire and that power, and you can put it into a fireplace, and you can heat a whole house, and you can live well, and you can be warm. But if you took that same bonfire and you put it in the middle of your living room, it would destroy your home. And so he basically said, we have this powerful thing in humanity that is sexuality, and it will be a fire that burns in your life. And your choice is to put it in the fireplace of God's plan for your sexuality, or just have it in your life where it can destroy you. And I thought, oh my goodness, what a picture. But it is that powerful. It really is that powerful.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about the singleness part. And so often we connect sexuality with the act of sex. And I think that's a very narrow definition.
Mm.
And for single people, I think it's so important to have close relationships with people of the same sex and to be in close community. So I felt like I was supposed to speak that.
And so I just want to say thank you to you, Ruth,
yeah,
for
absolutely
delving into this. What a powerful gift you are to humanity, to the body of Christ, but to just humanity. So thank you, because I'm sure this was not an easy journey.
This was not an easy journey, but it's it was a call. It is a calling.
It is a calling.
Yeah. It is a calling. And it's a calling when it's something you can't not do.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for doing this, and we just bless all you're doing. So once again, we are talking to Ruth Buzis. I'm saying it right. Buezis.
Mm-hmm.
And her book is called Awaken Love. The class is called Awaken Love.
Mm-hmm.
And her website is awaken-love.net. So we are so grateful that you have come here today. Would you be willing to pray over our listeners and just pray a blessing over their sexuality?
Sure, you bet. Father God, we thank you that you are a God of a relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that you created us for a relationship. And so, God, I pray that you draw us into deeper intimacy with you. God, I pray that you draw us into deeper relationship with each other. And God, if we are married, God, I just pray that you would open up our eyes to the power of connection through sex. That you would begin to reveal lies that we've believed about sex, or men, or women, that you would bring to our mind baggage that has impacted us, and you would give us a place to bring that baggage for healing. And God, for all the singles out there, God, I just pray blessing over their life, God, that they would have close relationships with others, close relationships with you, that you would give them the power to live in a way where their sexuality honors you. And so, God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the way that you are working in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you for listening to Dare to Believe podcast. We are grateful for you, our listeners. You can find out more about us at
our website, daretobelieve.info. That's dare2believe.info. Also, to make sure you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes, subscribe to us on Apple iTunes or however you listen to your podcasts. And go ahead and leave a 5-star rating while you're at it. Thank you, guys.